Our Bible reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, and starting from verse 25. John, chapter 9, verse 25. The Pharisees investigate the healing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see." This is God's word.
Be seated. Going to share something now. I just had just what I could only say was a very powerful prompting from God. It's wonderful, and the Lord wants to say, "I rejoice in those who are sitting on this front pew, but men, have I done nothing for you?" Actually, the first thing I want to do is to read something, which is an email, which has come from the other side of the Atlantic. Amy was talking to her mum about what we were doing this morning. And how could I put it this way? I mean, Amy's mum, earlier in the year, things got so critical with her health and the condition of her heart that Amy and Joe took the boys over to the States so they could make sure the boys had spent time with her, because they really felt that there was not going to be another occasion. So the first wonderful bit of testimony is that this comes from Amy's mum. I'm just going to read it as it was. I did think of asking Amy to do it, but as it mentions Amy and the family, I thought probably it was easier not to ask her to do it. It says, "Dear Pastor Newman, God has shown me his love with so many blessings this summer that I can hardly begin to put them all into words. My biggest blessing was Amy and Joe and Elijah and Caleb coming to Canada for a visit." Sorry, well, it's in the Americas, isn't it? geographically. At this time, I was feeling well and was not in the hospital. I was able to show Elijah and Caleb how to dig potatoes out of the garden for the first time. Also, seeing them pick beans, peas, carrots, and cucumbers was truly a blessing for me. It was wonderful seeing Amy laugh with her sister and brother and to see the family play cricket together, I believe, for the first time. It was so much fun on a hot day watching the boys and Joe cooling off while sliding on the slip and slide in the yard. Amy will explain what that is to you if you want. But it involves plastic and water. Also, hearing Joe play the piano while I was in the kitchen making buns with Amy was wonderful. There were so many moments to remember, and each one was a true blessing from God. Another very big blessing for me was a visit from my brother who lives in Arizona. I've not seen him in almost 3 years. This was a 1,600-mile trip for him one way. We also had the blessing of a good barley crop in spite of incredibly dry conditions. Our harvest was completed last night, much earlier than in previous years. We were very blessed that my husband's brother drove from California to help, and also our son-in-law joined in with Alan and cousin Brian to help get the harvest complete. Of course, my biggest blessing is that I came through this very difficult year to now enjoy each and every day. I have had good reports from my cardiologist, and I'm continuing to make excellent progress. I cannot thank you and your congregation enough for the support you have given Amy and Joe. I'm so thankful they have such a loving and caring church family. I thank you all from the bottom of my heart for your prayers. It has truly made a difference in my recovery. May God continue to bless you. With love to all, Nancy Fraser, Amy's mum. Amen. Would you please express back to her our thanks for her sharing that with us? Well, the first person to come to me and say, I'd like to say something, was Elaine. So I think, Elaine, you should be first now. And Elaine has asked if she can sit down while she talks to us. Okay. She is quite tall, isn't she? Yeah, I know.
I'm not too tall if I sit
down. No, that's right. If I can give you that.
Right, I don't know what it would be like.
Anyway. It's on?
Yes.
So right. just talk to us.
Well, I'd just like to quote Matthew 19, verse 26. Very well-known verse. With God, all things are possible. I would just like you to sort of meditate on that verse while I say what I'm going to say. Well, back in August, I had a holiday in Minehead with my friends Viv and Paul. Many of you have met Viv and Paul. They've been worshipping here over the years, and they live in Nottingham. And what happened was, I went by train down to Nottingham, beginning of August, and then the next day we set off to Minehead. Now, friends of theirs from the church in Nottingham, St. Nick's, had recently taken over a guest house in Minehead. So Viv and Paul invited me to join them for this holiday at Minehead. Now, their daughter Hazel, who is also my goddaughter, she and her husband live in Bath. But Hazel was going to be at New Wine. I don't know if anybody here has been to New Wine. Possibly more people have been to Spring Harvest. Anyway, New Wine was taking place in Somerset at the time we were going down. And it was felt, Paul felt that it was going to be too much trying to get to visit Hazel at New Wine, because it was going to mean quite a detour, you know, further east, I think that's right, before, you know, going to Minehead. So they made no arrangements. However, miracle of miracles, and those of you that are motorists will realise this, we did not have any hold-ups on the motorway, despite stopping for a coffee. And so we arrived in Somerset a lot earlier than was expected. So they thought, right, we'll get on the phone to Hazel and we will visit her. Unfortunately, Hazel had her mobile switched off. Of course, she may well have been attending a meeting. We just didn't know. But they decided we'd still head for the site. And nearer the time we got to the site, they tried again. Still couldn't get her on the phone. Well, we got to the site, and the first hurdle was, you'll realise that they do issue day passes. You know, they've got to have some sort of security. Well, all the day passes had gone. However, Viv, being quite a persistent lady, that's probably putting it mildly, she has been a friend of mine for years, did say why we were there, and so they did give us special passes. But the next thing was, because we couldn't get her on the mobile, all we knew was she was in the purple zone and in a green tent. Well, you've guessed it, there were rather a lot of green tents. Nevertheless, we got in, you know, we were in the car and we had to go very slowly because there were children flying around on bikes and, you know, it was lots of people walking around. We came to the purple zone and I was silently praying in the car that we would find Hazel. I mean, 14,000 people on the site. Humanly speaking, quite a challenge. Well, so Viv got out the car, and she thought, well, the best thing is I'll ask somebody, because, you know, new wine had been going a few days, and she thought, well, somebody might have spoken to Hazel. She was there with friends from her church in Bath. So she got out the car, spoke to this lady, and the next thing, she heard this voice, "Hello, Mum," and it was Hazel. You know, incredible. Well, incredible from the human point of view. So the next few minutes, she would have been in a seminar. So we then spent the next hour having a lovely chat. It was 2 o'clock by this time, and we were all getting peckish. Viv had packed up a packed lunch, so we had that. And Hazel managed to put the kettle on, so we had a fresh cup of tea, which was lovely, and a lovely chat. So then, after that, she went into a seminar. She missed a seminar, but she then went into another seminar. And we just proceeded to Minehead and had a lovely holiday in Minehead.
Possible with God.
Yes.
Where's Paula? Hey, you've been away as well, Paula, haven't you?
Just a minute.
Does your mum want to say a little bit about it?
Well, Paula, no, you can do it.
You come up here, the microphone will pick you up.
I've been to Lincoln.
Been to Lincoln, to the what?
One event.
To the one event.
And with Ismaelos.
Let's have a look now. Right. One of the sessions that we did, we were there all bank holiday weekend, weren't we? And in one of the sessions, they're very small to see from a distance, we had a piece of card, which we had to stick a mirror piece of card on as well, didn't we, Paula?
Yes.
And what does it say at the top?
1 10 5 10.
It says, "Wanted by God." And what happens when you look in the mirror? Who do you see? So who's wanted by God?
I.
Paula is wanted by God. And this was a little thing that we did just to show that everyone is wanted by God. And one of the things that Paula liked doing was that every morning in the session we had a puppet show from the puppet ministry, and they did lots of lovely stories, so Paula had to bring a puppet back with her, didn't you? But we had a lovely time, didn't we?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you for coming and sharing that. And I think there was at least one other member of the light group went,
yes,
Paula Svendlisa. Yes, they go to a different church, but all in the light group, which was wonderful. Well, eeny, meeny, and miny. Ellie, why don't you come and share? Sorry.
Thank you.
When Paul mentioned last week about testimonies, two scriptures came to mind, and one was, whoever confesses me before my Father, I will confess him to him, to God. And the other one was in Peter, where it says, always be prepared to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within you. And the Lord just spoke to me. Normally, I thought, should I? And I thought, no, I'll do it. Why is this summer important to me? It's not just this summer. It's the last 50 summers. And next Saturday, Ken and I celebrate our golden wedding. And I just want to stand up here and testify to what a faithful, loving, gracious God we have. I was brought up in a very godly Christian brethren home, and I praise God for my background. But when I got to about 20, I left home to go and live in the nurse's home, and I slipped away from the Lord at that time. So what I would say is I was a backslidden Christian. And it's 50 years ago that Ken and I stood in the church, and we gave our commitment to each other and to God. Ken was an unbeliever at the time, and I'm not quite sure if he fully understood what he was doing. But praise God, when I was 35, I came back to Christ in a very, very marked way. And I do believe that when we were first married, my mum and dad prayed for us, and especially my mum. She was a fervent prayer, and she prayed every day that Ken would give his life to Jesus. Shortly after, it was because when I was in hospital, I hurt my back, and it was during this time that somebody came in to the hospital and gave me a tract. And it's not until you're flat on your back, you're made to look up. And the Lord really, really spoke to me, and I came back to Christ in a really, really wonderful way. I told Ken, and my mum and dad were Christians and the witness to him, he had a sort of a reasonable understanding where I was coming from. But about 2 weeks later, after me coming out of hospital, the Lord called my mum home. And the day she died the early hours of the morning. During that day, a lot of my mum and dad's Christian friends came to pray with us. And at the end of the night, Ken was very, very quiet. And when he got to bed, he just broke down in tears. And I tried to comfort him, and I said, Ken, I said, my mum's going to be with our Lord and Saviour. He says, Ellie, he says, I've recognised a peace in this house and the presence of God. And he said, I want to give my life to Christ. So from that moment, it's not just this summer, it's every summer for the last 37 years since Ken became a Christian. And all I can say is that if there's anybody here whose family have drifted away from the Lord, pray, pray, pray. Because God is a God. He says he will never leave us or forsake us. We've had some amazing times during our marriage. We've had some sad times. We've experienced life. We've experienced death. But we know that the Lord has always been there for us. And for this last couple of years, I would say that I've had quite a lot of ill health. But the Lord has been with me all the time. There's times when I have been a little bit down. But it's then when I hear this little voice in my ear saying, Ellie, I love you. I died for you. I shed my precious blood for you. I rose again so that you could have new life. You could have eternal life. And one day I'm going to come back and you're going to live with me forever. So this is the reason why I wanted to stand up, just to say what an amazing, wonderful faith. I haven't got the words to say for what the love that I have for the Lord Jesus. Thank you.
I'll get the microphone.
Just one thing I wanted to say. We've recently heard on the wireless about the sad death of Princess Diane, and on our own sort of, you know, confession, she said that there had been three people in the marriage, and that's what basically brought the marriage down. But what I can say is, the day that Ken gave his life to Jesus, a third person came into our marriage, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Isn't that wonderful? I'm not sure whether that was your testimony or Ken's testimony, really, but we thank you for it, and it's so encouraging. Part of the reason we're doing this today is because as church leadership team, we want to encourage more testimony in the life of the church. And we know that people are actually very shy about sharing, because they feel that if they say anything, people will think they're inflating themselves and so on. Just want to say to you, if you go to a small group and you hear somebody share a really encouraging story, then you are entitled to be a whistleblower. Let me or somebody else on CLT say, so-and-so has got something which has happened, which is so important. I really think people would be blessed if they knew about that. The only way often we get to hear is if people say, did you know that? And so really just, you know, encourage people. If they say something which is really significant, then why don't you just share that with somebody so that we can know? And because it would be good to include more testimonies week by week. And we said one good way of highlighting it is at the beginning of this autumn, as we go into a sort of new season of activities, to say, right, we'll make this the core of what we're going to say. So what we're going to do, how long is this song, this next song? Let's sing a couple of verses, and then we'll hear from Janusia and Christine. But if anybody feels moved to come and share anything, it will need to be brief, but then do please come and sit on the front row with them. That would be great. Thank you, Adam. Well, I know that Ken, if he'd have... would have sung those words, better is one day in your house than elsewhere. Christine, unaccustomed as she is of speaking to us, just listen very carefully, because Christine always has a quiet voice.
Okay, I'll try and speak.
Which is my way of saying stand up close to the microphone.
Okay. I just really want to give God glory and honour for some answered prayer during the summer. Some unexpected ways that God's answered prayers. We've had some good teaching over the last few months about the Holy Spirit, about exploring new spiritual disciplines. We were given a sheet of paper that encouraged us to pray for people and listen to what God was saying. The culmination of all that is that I was burdened to pray for my work colleague. I was praying that, you know, that the Lord would open her heart and soften her heart, that I would give him the opportunity, that I wouldn't waste the opportunity when it came, that I would I would have boldness to witness to her. And I was quite anxious about all this, because I just find it sometimes a bit difficult to speak to people about my faith. But anyway, so those have been the prayers that I'd been praying. So just park that for the moment, because those are the prayers that are going to be answered in a very amazing way. A couple of other little things, instances. My work takes me all over Northumberland, and on this particular day, I had to go to Hexham. But I had dashed out, I hadn't taken my purse, looked at my petrol gauge, had virtually no petrol, I hadn't got my purse. That's all right, because I always have a little emergency purse in my dash. Went to look for it, wasn't there. So I was in Hexham. Sat-nav said it was 35 miles home. Petrol gauge said 25 miles. So I was in a bit of a predicament. I just prayed, Lord, help me get home safely. And it was 1:30 when I finished my work. I had my sandwiches with me. I just went down by the river, intending to sit on one of the park, on one of the benches, but they were all occupied. So I just leaned on the bonnet of my car and just ate my sandwiches. And then I literally just felt I needed a couple of minutes just to, you know, clear my head. So I went. I just stood by the river, just took in the beauty of God's creation, just breathed in the fresh air, cleared my head for a couple of minutes, turned around to go back to my car. Some people were setting up some picnic chairs and a picnic blanket. As I went towards them, I realised it's people I knew. It was friends that I'd grown up with. The children had grown up together. They live on Preston Grange. So literally, they were between me and the car. So I went and asked, oh, hello, what are you doing here? Chat, chat, chat. And I explained my predicament, that I've got no money and I was running out of petrol. Oh, here, do you want to borrow some money? So they gave me some money and I got petrol, got home safely. Got back to the office, shared that with my colleague, my manager, and she says, well, I've heard about getting home on a wing and prayer, but that was definitely a wing and a prayer, wasn't it? So that was one incident. I thought no more of it. A few weeks later, I'd lost a document. It's quite an important document. And over 2 days, she kept saying, have you found it yet? I'd retraced my steps, where I'd been with it. I'd searched everywhere. I couldn't find it. It was really quite an important document. And she said, it was lunchtime, and she says, well, she says, really, if it's not turned up by the end of the day, I think we're going to have to report it missing. I says, yeah, I know. I was really quite upset about that because it was possibly a disciplinary offence. It was really quite serious that I'd lost this document. I don't know, didn't know where it was. Anyway, when she went out the office, I just put my head in my hands and I prayed, Lord, I've looked everywhere. I can't find it, but you know where it is. Please guide me to it. Within 30 seconds, I had it in my hand. It didn't matter where it was, but I had it in my hand. So she came back in the office later that day, took her coat off, was just about to sit, and I held it up. I said, oh, look what I've got, look what I've got. And she says, oh, how do you find that? I told her about the prayer, and within 30 seconds I had the document. And she just leaned back in her chair, she tossed a pen on her desk, and she says, okay, Christine, she says, what's your secret? She says, you've got a hotline to heaven. She says, you've got God watching your back. And she says, but come on, she says, who else, you know, runs out of petrol and has somebody turn up with money for them? She says, okay, so this God thing, it's real, isn't it? She says, tell me about it. So that was an opportunity on the plate. I didn't have to engineer an opportunity. That was an opportunity on the plate just to witness to, about God. So I shared some of God's love and about the personal relationship that I had with God. We were interrupted by somebody coming into the office, but she said to me, Christine, she says, can we pick this conversation up again later? So, you know, that's just, to me, that was just an amazing way that God answered my prayers to witness. I mean, he also answered some of my arrow prayers, which I was very grateful for, but I don't really think getting me out of some a couple of scrapes was God's purpose in answering those prayers. It was so that I could witness to my boss about them. So I just really want to encourage you to bring God into everyday opportunities and to seek God in the here and now and the everyday things and be surprised at how God would answer prayers.
Thank you, Christine. Though I think I need to say as pastor, do check you do have enough fuel when you go out. And if a document is important, make sure you know where it's filed. But what that is a way, I'm sure, that both those things happened so that the witness could be made to that person. It, you know, the fact that God showed up in both those situations was really important to the person who needed to be witnessed to. Janusia.
Well, I would like to share what God has spoken to me during holidays. As you know, we went to New Zealand, and the first week we arrived there, we went to a church in Auckland. large church, and the person that was preaching, the message was, the text was very simple, but just the powerful way God spoke to the church that day. The text was from Mark chapter 5, I think, when Jesus goes to heal the daughter of Jairus, I think, and she was 12 years old. In her way, in his way, going to heal that girl, the woman with a problem with flux of touched Jesus, and she was healed. And he just said, before Jesus went to the next generation, he had to touch the previous generation. And he said that woman was in her, was down, was in her misery, and just the situation like the world is at the moment. And what he was saying is that we need to come to Jesus for the healing of this generation, because we can't touch the next generation. The next generation will be died, you'll be dead, if we are not healed, if this generation is not healed. And then at the end of the holiday, I had a dream that was very short. I was sitting next to a friend, and she just turned to me and said, "Jesus is coming." It's just that. And I reminded of my wedding. When I got engaged with Andrew, and we had two weddings, by the way, one in Brazil and another one in New Zealand. But Andrew has never had met my family or friends or anyone. And I had to go to Brazil and prepare for my wedding. But the groom wasn't there. And I think my family was quite worried, and they kept saying, "Are you sure he's coming?" Because of my excitement, I was preparing for my wedding, but no one knew the groom. And but I was certain he was coming because I talked to him. I could hear his voice. And I carry on preparing for my wedding. And Andrew came just 2 days before the wedding. But everything was ready. I was prepared to get married. And God just reminded me of that time after nearly 17 years ago. And it was like he's saying to me, "You prepared without him nearby, but he knew, you knew he was coming. And I'm coming." So I believe that is a word, was a big, big thing. It was very special when that preacher was speaking. It was a church with more than 7,000 people, I suppose. But you could feel that that was a prophecy, that this generation needs to be healed, for the next generation to be ready for Jesus to come. So I just think it was quite came in my mind. What do you write in every day your schedule? And if you just wrote, "Jesus is coming," will you change our everyday lives, what you do every day? So thank you for the opportunity to say it.
Thank you, Janusia. It's a very powerful word. Thank you for sharing that. I sometimes worry, and I know that the statistics are that most people who become Christians in their childhood and their teens. But I wonder if that's partly because we put so much effort into reaching our children and our teens, and we don't put anywhere near so much effort into reaching those who are of older years, who have, you know, the Kens of this world, who, you know, get 13 years into marriage before they wake up to the reality of what is there for them in Jesus. And I think that's a real word to us. That's not saying what we do with children, young people is unimportant, but it's about remembering we have a much bigger call to mission and witness, and the Lord is coming. I know a lot of people are looking at what's going on in the world and saying, how do we explain this? All I can say is, we've always been called to live every day as if Jesus was coming today, and that's a way we should continue to live our lives and not get unduly worried about anything else, but live for him. Joe, let me take you in the order in which you've come. So Joe first, would you like to come up and share?
Didn't know I was coming up here this morning. During my prayer this morning, it was revealed to me like the light of God. Well, it brought something to my mind that happened to me last week. I work very much, to all you guys out there, in a very much a man's world. It's very rough. I have premises for my business over in the Fox Hunters, and it's very common to hear people swearing and arguing and what have you. It's very much a man's world. It's very rough. And we've had a load of build-up in our premises of all sorts of gear, and we were aware that it had to be moved, so we got a skip ordered, and we got this guy coming out to, and we knew I had to fill the skip up with all our stuff. When the guy arrived in the morning, about 10 o'clock, as soon as he got out of the truck, he backed the truck in, because it's very awkward to get into the yard. And he backed his truck in, he got out, and I went to greet him. And he said, I shouldn't be here, really. He says, my father died last week, and I'm having loads of problems and what have you. And I don't know what it was, but to me, praying about the light, the Fox Hunters and world as we know it is a very dark place. And sometimes we'll look for big things to happen, but you know what it is? It's often the small things. It's the small things. So I don't know what it was. I just stepped out and I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And I mean, you've got to see the setting here, you know. We're surrounded by, you know, I'm a man, you know. It's a man's world. It's rough out there, and it's a very, as I say, I can't explain it any other way, but it's a dark place. And I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And he kind of looked at us as if this was really happening. And I just stepped out and I prayed for him. I prayed loud, and I didn't care who heard us or what didn't hear us. And I just said to him, Jesus, this man's asked him for his name. This man's lost his father. And, you know, he's got lots of problems. So just pray that you're with him. It was as simple as that, and I left it at that, and we got our skip filled, and probably got our skip filled more than what we normally would get. He seemed to take more away, and guys were saying, how did you get your skip filled that much? You know, they're very strict these days. You only take it level, and you're getting loads. That's just the way things are. I don't know what will happen, you know, but at least I stepped out, and my message is to everybody, like, we live in a very dark world, and in places that this guy just, you know, he probably delivers skips all over the northeast, the builders and what have you, and it's a very rough area out there. But he was kind of taken aback. And when he came back, we had a really good talk. It wasn't about the Lord, but we had a really good talk. And I just pray that that made a difference. That was it. Thanks.
Okay. You'd better introduce yourself. I've met you before, but some people say I don't recognise him.
Yes, if Joe wasn't expecting to come up, I certainly wasn't, and that's a lot more people than I thought it was from sitting up there as well. My name's Rich. What happened to me this summer was that I began coming to this church with my family, my wife Kate, and the two little ones who've gone out, Rose and Adam. I stopped attending church about 5 or 6 years ago for various reasons. And whereas I've never sort of hidden my faith particularly, people at work know I'm a policeman in the city centre, and they know, and they all, some take great fun out of that, but it's not something I hidden, but it wasn't a place where I felt I could come for various reasons. And so this summer, about 2 months ago, I attended here for the first time. The only connection with here was Rose comes to the... Where is she? There she is. Rose comes to the play school thing here. And so I don't know if it was that or... I don't know. I had a look online. Whatever it was, it ended up being here, which could have been anywhere, really. To be honest, for some reason, it's been here. What has also happened this summer is, as part of my job, I've been put in touch with the Christian Police Association. I've met the minister, the chaplains that we have, the area lead, and sort of stuff like this. And that's something that I'm going to do as I go on in my job. And again, people knew this about me in the job. It's not a surprise to them or anything, but it's something that I maybe hadn't been as open with unless I was questioned about it, perhaps. So I'm just extremely grateful that 2 months ago I wasn't attending anywhere, and 2 months later I'm sitting here with my wife and my kids, and I probably couldn't have envisaged that 6 months ago. Over these last 5 years, it's gradually moved to getting back to this place, and what it meant was like a little thing, but the last week I prayed for probably the first time ever, not in a church setting, for 5 or 6 years for my brother-in-law, and it just ended up with all being here. So the summer for me has been quite a fundamental change to my life, and probably to my family's as well. but it has been, and I'm extremely grateful for that, so I just thought I should probably share that.
And can I say a very sincere thank you to you, Rich, and for all those who have come and shared this morning. Our time has more than gone. And however, I do have a sermon here. No. I just think it's just wonderful what we've heard, and I hope you've been encouraged. And it's often not in big, massive things, though I think that was a fairly big, massive thing, but... You know, often in little details of life, we just find ourselves in a place, we hear a word spoken or something which just makes such a difference to us. So let's pray together, and then we'll sing together to close our service. Father, I just thank you for the words we have heard this morning. Thank you for Elaine's testimony of the way you guide. Simply lead to the right place at the right time. Thank you for Paula sharing about how God loves her, that she is wonderfully made, and he loves her because of that. We thank you for Ellie and her story of faith over the years, shared with Ken. We thank you for Christine and those little incidents which spoke powerfully to another person for whom she'd been praying as to how she could witness. Lord, it reminds us that when we pray, it can be quite surprising what happens sometimes. We thank you. And we thank you as a conversation there to be continued. And we pray that you will give the opportunity for the continuation of that conversation and that it will be fruitful for you. We thank you for Janusia and the word she brings us from New Zealand. A reminder to get out there and to share and to win people for Christ and not to see a generation lost. Well, after we hear statistics, so many statistics saying how the church is quickly fading away, but we know that you will never fade away. And we thank you that you are coming back. But everything is for a purpose, and that purpose is you and your glory. We thank you for Joe, for his opportunity to pray with the skip man, a man who takes away rubbish for a living, and we thank you, Lord, that that man has got a lot in common with you, because you take away all our rubbish. And we thank you for the way that you led Joe to pray, to speak out for you. And I'm quite sure that that man will never forget delivering that skip to Joe that day. And we pray that you will continue with him on his journey. And we thank you for Rich. We pray for your blessing on him in his job as a policeman. We know it's a really tough call these days. But we pray that you will be with him and help him to honour you in the way he serves, as well as with his wife and children. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you for the encouragement we have received. Thank you. But if you can do these things for these people, you can do them for any of us. And so remind us again to stand firm in our faith, to call on you in prayer, and to live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.